I asked each of you what you wanted to talk about, and both of you gave me about 2 hours worth of discussion. Pete.
Neither of us CC'd the other one.
No, we didn't CC. Cover maps first.
Yeah. Well, there is a significant amount of overlap, so that's a good thing. Before I get started, Mike, just on this the last paragraph, you had a longtime friend transfer half his account due to what he called poor performance this year and last. Did he have poor performance?
I didn't think so. I mean, it was, you know, it's one of those things where a client decides that now there's a benchmark that you didn't know was a benchmark. So, and you run into that a lot. I mean, it just all of a sudden now the S&P is the benchmark for a broadly diversified portfolio. And he had, it's just kind of a weird thing. He's always been a little bit emotional client. I mean, he wanted to sell everything in 08, and I talked him out of it, and instead of having him go to cash, I encouraged him just to rebalance to a more conservative allocation, which he did. So we kind of nursed him through 08, 09, and 10 and kept him from shooting himself in the foot. But he didn't want to pay any fees, I tried to get him on one of our advisory platforms, but he didn't like the fees, so we canceled that after a year. And then I moved him to American Funds at NAB, at $1 million, and we kind of rejiggered the portfolio to be with American Funds so I could avoid the cost. But then in 2014, the markets went, late 14 and 15, the markets went flat. And so nothing was really working in late 14 and 15, so he felt that he was, for whatever reason, underperforming. And then he said, well, what would you guys do? I said, well, most of our accounts are on our advisory platform, which is our fee-based. We have a little more flexibility and more tools in the toolbox. So we moved him to our advisory platform in December of last year. And then he was mad. He called in May and said, well, market's up 7.5. I'll come up on 3. Well, first of all, we don't own the market. And my other account at Dane is up way more. And I said, well, your other account at Dane is 100% stocks. This one is 60
U.S. stocks.
U.S. stocks. And this one is 66% stocks. So we've built a more broadly diversified program for you, and I went through the whole concept of asset allocation and all that. Anyway, for whatever reason, he had an account there, and his wife had an account, and he just felt that his accounts were up 3 or 4. They were down a little bit in 14, I think, or 15. They were down a little bit in 15, like most people were down a little. Unless you were all in U.S. equities. And then 15, they were up about 3 or 4, maybe, or 5. I don't remember. Yep. And but the S&P is up 7, so he just thought he was underperforming. So he just sends me an email. Oh, by the way, I'm going to move part of my account back to Dane and part of my account over to this new advisor. It's actually a money manager out of St. Paul. So anyway, this is one of probably 10 people I invited to my son's wedding.
Yeah.
I've kind of worked for free for them for a long time. I did financial planning for them. Basically didn't charge them for it. I did social security planning for them. Conferenced in BlackRock, a couple times. I've updated their plan multiple times. I helped them with their estate plan a few years ago. I helped them. And all of this, keep in mind, I was doing at rock bottom pricing.
Yeah.
Because the client didn't want to pay any fees. So I was basically working for the trail on American Funds. And then, I finally get him on a platform to consolidate some of his assets when he retired, because he had it all spread all over, and I basically told him either move it here or move it. You know, I'm just not going to deal with it. So he finally moved some of it in, and then, of course, now that I got him onto an advisory platform, also I discounted it at the max discount, because he's a friend of mine. Then after 9 months, 6 months, or 7 months, they said we weren't doing good enough, and then he moved capital. So,
how much do you have left?
I'm going to get 600.
600, yeah,
650, 7.
Yeah, what are you going to do?
I haven't really processed it yet. I threw it on there just because it was just relevant, it was current, and you've dealt with that before, and everybody's been fired by a friend or family member. So
Would you do anything different?
No.
Well, then I think it's an easy decision here. Say it again. He's left 600 with you, right?
600 or 700, yeah.
What I would do is I wouldn't pine about it. You hadn't done anything wrong. I wouldn't let it get into your gut. I kept hear fee. You've discounted. He's never going to change, Mike.
Oh.
So if he wants you to run a, you know, if you just said it's 200 or 300, I'd have probably said tell him it's in his best interest to move it all, so somebody can be looking at the whole thing. At 600, I treated just like you were treating him before. But the big thing is not to worry about it. You hardly ever lose relationships.
Yeah. And I told him, I said, you know, I said, I had a conversation with him. I said, you know, Dave, I said, why wouldn't you call me? If you were upset about your performance, I mean, if it was really that, well, I did talk to you in May. I said, well, I mean, you talked to me about why it's different. You didn't talk to me that you were disappointed and we're going to move it. You just wondered why it was different from your Dana account. And I told you why it was different. I think to send an email, but he did that to me before. He actually tried to fire me back in 2010, or maybe it was 11 or 12. Yeah. I forgot what it was for. Maybe it was for, but he's a very, very fee conscious individual. It's there. I've known him for years, and they're just super, super tight, super, super conscious of whatever, and never doesn't quite get the value of what we did for him. That I never charged for him. So I'm thinking I either get rid of him. Or I just maintain them as a butler account. And
yeah. If you decide to, if you would decide to get rid of him, here's what I would say to him. I don't want you to be angry about it. He's who he is. You're who you are. I'd rather be in your head than his, it sounds like. I just ask him a question. Would you be more comfortable having it all in one place? If you decide to get rid of him, that's non-confrontational, and you get rid of him. But my guess is that he's going to treat Dane, he treats Dane and this money manager, it's all going to, he treats them the same.
Well, that's kind of what I told him. I said, Dave, I said, you have to understand in my world, this is kind of the effective way of firing your advisor. I mean, I thought I was your advisor. Now I'm just another receptacle for your money. And he said, well, business is business. And I said, well, it is. And I said, business is business. I should be charging you what I charge everybody else. I said, but I don't. He did say, well, I said, if I'm in a horse race now against three other competitors, I kind of need to know what you're doing. Because if you're going to compare them, I need to know what I'm comparing against. Well, that's not what I want to do. I want to diversify my advisors and I want to diversify my investments. And so I wanted yours to be that way, and I'm going to do something different with the other third and another different with the other third. So, and
yep.
His logic is what he wanted to do.
Don't beg, Mike. Don't beg. This guy's an odd lot in your practice.
He is an odd lot, yeah.
He's an odd lot. My first thought is we spent an awful lot of time on this knucklehead. On further review, I think it's good we had the conversation because you have a practice where the client comes first. Both of you all put a lot into your practice. You're ethical. You make the hard decisions. You got people allocated correctly, and you've been giving it away to this knucklehead. You can't do that. I would not spend another second with this guy. The only way I would spend a second with him is if you want to treat him like a butler and give him – give him a quarterly review or a semi-annual review.
I think that's what we'll do. I mean, I could certainly send him to our Wealth Advice Center, but I don't know. Either that or I'd go back to him and just say, you know, would you be happier somewhere else? But he basically said, no, if I was unhappy with you, I'd have moved at all.
Yeah. Well, if it ever gets contentious, and I don't think you would let that happen, again, the way out is Dave, do you think you would be more comfortable having all your money in one place?
And, I think good idea.
Yeah. All right. The commonality in your in your emails was the I like the way that Matt put it. Where is it? I feel like we have a great moment here to sit back and really analyze our team, our individual strengths and weaknesses, and build from the ground up a team that can allow us to grow to $5 million in annual revenue. That is a great sentence. So this is an opportunity. Mike, yours you know, you talk about retooling the team. You talk about training. So you say, or somehow get them up to speed on our process and our vision. So the vast majority of what each of you talked about was the structure. Now, we've talked about this before, the goal here is to get you all spending as much time as you can on what you enjoy. People are generally good at what they enjoy. So what you all enjoy, it put in not your exact words, you enjoy talking to clients. You enjoy growing the business. Matt, is that fair?
Yeah, that's fair.
Mike, you're the same way. What do you hate? This is a silly answer, but you hate almost everything that doesn't fit into that category of taking care of clients and growing the business. So when you look at your team, what is there something? Matt, let me ask you first. Do you see something that when you talk about this great opportunity, do you see one thing that jumps out that you're not getting done, or you're not, the new team doesn't understand? What's the biggest opportunity that's being lost right now?
The biggest opportunity, I think, from trying to drive growth is finding time for Mike and I to be more systematic and streamlined in our prospecting. And it's because there's just no time.
Well,
if we want to grow to $5 million, the only way we can do that, now there's lots of, there's lots of reasons that we can't get that done right now. But that's probably the number one impediment, I'd say, to growing.
What does this, you need to be more streamlined in your prospecting. What's keeping you from being streamlined?
I don't know. I mean, there's lots of excuses, and they're probably just that, I suppose.
Oh, huh? No. I don't want to go down that path. I'm looking for solutions here. I don't think there's any blame needed. If it's still the same thing 6 months or a year from now, then maybe look at it differently. But is it the phone ringing? What is keeping you? Let's just do it this way. What's keeping you from spending 2 hours prospecting today? I mean, I'm not talking about cold calling. I'm just talking about prospecting.
Getting my monthly calls in would be part of it. And then the other part would be, and I don't want this to come across as, I'll just make the statement. You know, right now the day is interrupted all the time from Tracy and Barb asking questions. And that it's logical and makes sense. I'd rather have them asking questions to get up to speed, but it takes away your flow from the day. It takes away, what you're trying to accomplish. And so,
I mean, we're both kind of struggling with that, and we're just kind of retraining everybody, and you're spending a lot of time, how do I do this? How do I do that? How do we print this? How do we get this? How do we prep for this? Do you need this? I mean, it's just a lot of
questions, and then follow-up questions, and then follow-up questions. And so part of that is
who is the best person to train these folks? I mean, is that the responsibility of your complex service manager? Whose responsibility is to train new people? Because, Mike, I know you're not an expert on what you do when you get an ACATS, and you never will be. So it's like you guys are training these people on things that you really aren't experts on. Is that, am I looking at it the right way?
We're not training them on that, though, Rob, necessarily. We're training them more on our team and how we do things and our review process and our, you know, meetings and how we like to communicate. I mean, it's all of that. I don't think we can outsource that training to anybody else in the complex. I think it has to come from us.
So it's not teaching them how to send out a check or whatever.
Oh.
It's about internal process.
Yeah, you're right, because Mike and I have no clue how to do any of that stuff.
Yeah, and then Carol Henry, our admin manager, is their conduit for that. So if they have trouble with that, things like that, then they have a resource to get answers and so forth. So this is just mostly just how we do business with client.
Okay.
So it'll come.
Yeah.
So will the Vikings first loss. We just don't know when. Give me an example. I'm not trying to pin you down. I'm trying to understand. Give me an example, and I get this thing about breaking up a day. One of the most common complaints I used to hear from CAs was, you know, I get in the flow, and then the FA comes out and breaks my concentration. I got to start all over again, and I understand it works both ways. What? Give me an example of what they had a question on.
Little stuff. I mean, I asked Tracy if I was busy last week, so I asked Tracy if she could book I said something about, I forgot what it was, a due diligence meeting. I was supposed to go to a due diligence meeting in New York, and I had to get the registration in, and I got on the 29th. So anyway, Tracy saw it, and she said, "You want me to help you with this?" I said, "That'd be great." So she sent in the registration, but then I had to book the tickets, and then she didn't. And then she said, "Well, do I go?" And so it was just a continuation of emails. Well, do I book it through our travel agent, or do I book it through their travel agent? Well, usually, if their due diligence is through a fund company, then you book it through their agent. So she calls her agent. Well, then what airline do you eat? What time do you want to leave? Well, what time? You know, do you like the aisle seat or the window seat?
What airport?
Just what airport? And on and on. It was just a dozen or 15 emails. But, again, Lori just knew all that. She just took care of it. And so it was just a constant barrage of emails. So that's one little thing, but Matt's doing the same thing. And it's virtually everything that we're doing, it's creating about a dozen emails about, okay, do you want it this way or do you want it that way? And you know, it's just...
The frustrations you're having, or what you're describing to me, the clients aren't seeing it. This is nothing that's affecting
what they're doing with
clients. This is all
internal. Yep.
They're going to us before they get to the client, which is what you'd rather have.
Well, so they're not coming to you with stuff that's urgent.
It can be.
Well, what would be wrong with, at the end of the day, having a short meeting and answering their questions? I mean, if it's an emergency, then they can come to you. But if it's not, if something wait to the end of the day, wouldn't that be more efficient for everybody?
Yeah. I think Mike and I are both trying to be a little aware of the message we're sending that we're being receptive. Because to them, you know, the task that they're working on is the most important thing to them right now. They want to do a good job, and they want it to be up to our standards. And so I don't want to tell them I don't care or just make your own. I mean, we're trying to do it the correct way. And so I'm always trying to – maybe we just go to them and tell them, you know what, if it's not urgent, you know, let's do it at the end of the day. I don't know if it'll work.
Do they understand the importance of the clients? And I know that's a stupid question, but do they understand how you guys have to do business? If you're not talking to them during the day on issues like Mike just described, that doesn't mean you don't care. It just means you're taking care of the clients. I mean, do they understand how you all get paid and how important it is to attract new clients and all that stuff?
I suppose it's just, I think they do, but you're right. It's us having a conversation with them without, I think of an episode last week, Tracy was coming to me about something with our United Way campaign, and I don't know, I answered the question, and they came back with two more questions, and then I answered it again, and they came back with some more questions, and then I said, I really would like to be out of the loop on this, so if you could just take care of it, that would be great. And then I got four more questions. So then I visited with her afterwards, and then we were talking about it, and I said, you know, if you could just, I just want to be out of the loop on this, Tracy, just so we're clear. If you can take care of it, that would be great. And so I haven't really communicated probably that we're trying to delegate some of this stuff so we can make sure we have time with clients. Because some of it needs to get done.
Here's what I'm thinking, Mike. I'm thinking you're so conscious of not wanting to be, you know, perceived as however, I've forgotten her name already. Lori. The thing
22.
He said to you, you're playing defensively, it sounds like.
Could be.
You don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. Matt, what's the cure here?
I think there's a couple of ways we could do it, and one is happening a little bit. You know, they don't – a lot of the stuff – They're going to Mike with some stuff. They're going to me for Mike for a lot of stuff as well. And he probably doesn't know that, but, I mean, a lot of stuff that, you know, I think she wants to ask Mike, she's not. He's coming, and part of it, I think, because she just, you know, her desk sits right outside my office. And so she asks me a lot of the things. So we could communicate that's just the way to do that. Just don't, you know, just go to me with everything. I'm not saying that's a good solution, but that's a solution. On the alternate side of that, we could just communicate to them kind of what you're saying, Rob, is we just let it kind of play its course out and know that that's kind of the price we have to pay to get them up to speed. Or third, we just let it be and don't do anything about it. I don't think that's a great solution, so...
Yeah, I think that's a really bad solution.
Yeah, I do too.
Cure themselves. Oh, they only get
it's
work.
One or two, I think.
I don't see it as a problem yet. I mean, it's just something we're struggling with. So I think, but maybe the solution, in my mind, would be after, you know, 90 days here or something, or not 90 days, but maybe sometime here in the next week or two, we just have a sit-down meeting and say, you know, how are things going? We know everybody's a little different. Make just kind of feel them out and see how they're doing okay. And then also then maybe pass along to, you know, we just wanted to encourage you to know that we're, you know, our job is to stay in front of clients and our job is to stay on the phone with clients. That's how we drive the business. So anything that we can do to reduce email flow or phone call flow is what we're trying to get at. And so if there's things that you can do that you can just take care of and make decisions on your own, that would be great. And take us out of the loop. We run some risk that maybe it doesn't get done maybe exactly the way we thought it would be, but we'll deal with that later. We'd rather have you just take the reins and run with some of this stuff.
Here's the picture I have, guys. I have, and I don't know if is it you know, two circles that have a little bit of overlap. What's that called? A concentric?
Concentric.
Here's what I view. I view those two circles, and they overlap a little. And the big circles, one is what you guys do, and the other is what you guys don't do. It's not what they do and what you do. It's what you do and what you don't do. And the big circle for you all is to make sure that you're talking to clients on a regularly scheduled basis. You all have a brand. We've been talking for 2 years, probably more. I have a folder. By the way, I have a folder for most people. For you all, I have a notebook. We've been talking a long time. You've got a brand that you have to deliver. Agreed?
Agreed. Yes.
That's your job, delivering your brand and growing it. Their job is to do the things that support you in that effort. It's not like, you know, I do the big things, you're down here. These are two circles that are side by side. This is what we're responsible for, and this is what we're not responsible for. This is what you all do. Without you doing your job well, we cannot run the type of practice that we want to run. Now, in the middle, you've got a little overlap. And that overlap is are things where you get involved, but not on a regular basis. I mean, there's no matter what anybody tells you, there's no FA who does only what they want to do, taking care of clients, and doesn't do any of the other stuff. It's just a matter of how big where those circles overlap is. So that's the picture I would paint for them. And I want you to know the importance of delivering to our clients. This is what we do. This is what we don't do. And then there's a little bit of overlap. I would meet with these ladies once a week, guys, both of you together, if possible. And it's every week. Tell me what's worked. Tell me what hasn't worked. Is there anything that you need from me? Is there anything we can do do we need more communication? And I would just force yourself to do that, not what you want to do, but I think you may have an unrealistic expectation that, well, here's what it is. There are a lot of one-off things that Lori could do without talking to you, right, Mike?
Correct, yep.
It's an unrealistic expectation in my mind for your new folks to learn those one-off things.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you can learn the process. You can learn how to, you know, type things on the computer and get things done. But those one-off things are going to take a little time.
Right.
And right. I would really encourage you to talk to that, to say explain your day and say, anything that is an emergency, I want to see quickly. Anything that's not, I would like to sit down with you at the end of the day and have a conversation and go through those things. I don't know any other way to do it.
No, that's a good idea. You know, we just had our weekly meeting, we can just convey to them, say, here's what we'd like to do is try, and we're noticing an increase in email flow that we're just having trouble trying to stay ahead of. And so one thing that would be helpful for us is one, you know, if you have something you're working on that you need action on right away, if it's an emergency, then certainly let us know. But if it's not, if we can push all that stuff to our morning huddle, that would be great.
Yeah.
And then that will reduce some of the barrage of emails that we're getting.
Yeah.
And then we just deal with it one time in the morning or something.
Here's what you don't want to do is you don't want to make them afraid to come in and ask you questions.
Exactly.
That's where the communication drops, and that's why I think again this picture I've drawn here of these circles that are not one over the other but side by side, okay. I think is a good picture. It's a team, but to have them come in, you know, five times a day when you're in the middle of something, it kills your efficiency. So that's what if we all worked together and I was the director and you came in and said we're struggling with this, that's what I would suggest that you do. Now, this stuff about team training. Those people travel, don't they?
Oh, yeah, they do. Yeah.
Those people used to love to come to Nashville when I was working. Anybody loved coming to Nashville?
Yeah.
They like getting out. So what would be wrong with scheduling the time for them to come out and spend time with you all? Why would you all travel to them And my when you do team training, Mike, I mean, you talked to me about this. There was some, or Matt, I forget which one of you, there was something scheduled, and you didn't get enrolled quickly enough, and you couldn't get in. Is that, was that training for the whole team or just one or two of you?
Was everybody?
Well, that's what it's – so everybody would be out of the office?
Right,
yeah.
Why can't they come to you?
I guess they could.
Yeah. Because St. Cloud is not – no.
Oh, no, I, yeah, and it's – it's
Capital Bar and Grill, though.
Yeah, we got – yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, they, you know, I also followed up and said they love getting out of New
yeah.
Jersey or Weehawken or whatever. So why can't – I mean, can't your manager get some pull and get those people out to see you?
Good idea. We just hadn't thought about it.
No. Yeah.
I'll put that on the list.
Yeah. I just think it makes sense. Now, is there would it be helpful for you all to or one of the ladies to visit another team somewhere in the system? Or are we just talking – is the big thing here the one-offs?
I mean, Barb did that last week or 2 weeks ago. She went down and sat with the CSA in the cities. Actually sat with a handful of them, right? But that was more on workflow and how to, you know, how to get things kind of pushed through the system a little faster.
Yeah.
She did that.
Well, that's probably the advantage of going to one of the workshops, I suppose, is they bring in other groups from other places, so you would get that feedback there. But, I don't know that we're there yet, but that's a good idea. I think we got to get them further up on the learning curve first before we...
Right now, they almost don't know what they don't know.
Yeah. I think maybe that's a good idea for later. I don't see it right now.
Well, further up the learning curve, Mike, on process.
Right. How the team does things, how we do things, and all the one offs and all that kind of stuff that's coming us up right now.
But as far as the clients see it, the clients are fine. They're not things slipping through the cracks with the clients.
Right, minor things, but very minor, yeah. It's mostly just us getting the same workflow out the system. It's taking us longer to do it. So, and that's just going to come from training for them getting
better.
Here's
where I'm confused. That sounds like, when you say getting the workflow done, that sounds like things that could affect the client.
It could. It is right now.
Potential.
But, yeah, we're just taking us longer to get work done. And so Matt and I are just feeling a little bit of that now because we're basically trying to explain everything we're doing. So I think it'll get better. I mean,
is there a service manager in the – at Merrill, I had an admin manager and a service manager, and the CSAs reported to the service manager. He knew all the procedures and – all that kind of stuff. Is there somebody like that in your complex?
Yeah, we do, Rob. I mean, so Barb can call Carol Henry in Minneapolis. She's our admin manager for the complex. So Barbara has a resource for everything operational AUBS. What she doesn't have is a manual for Matt and I. She can't get inside our heads, and she doesn't want to. But she doesn't know how we do things. She doesn't know how everything in terms of getting ready for a client meeting, for reports that we like to have, where to get certain, and I'm doing a 401k meeting tomorrow. Where do I get the DC advisory report? How do I load it? How do I get all that information together? How do I log in to get the stuff from the record keeper?
How do you want it found?
How do you want it found?
I mean,
how do you want it found? Do you want it clear covered? Do you want it dark covered? Do you want
it at the meeting at 10? Do you want it at 10:30?
Yeah. So those are the kinds of things that I mean by operational. Team operational.
Yeah.
Where's the website for the 401ks? And then, you know, how do we, client calls in for whatever reason associated with a simple plan. Well, how do we process those? Well, where do we get the distribution forms? Do we go to the client or do we go to here or do we do it here? I mean, it's, again, just relearning basically everything that we do.
Is your feeling that when you do show them something that they're retaining it?
Yeah.
Yes, that's the saving grace to all this, is you rarely have to tell them anything twice.
Yeah. Vernon knew everything.
Here's another question, Matt. When you give them something to do, do you have confidence they'll get it done in a timely basis?
I have confidence that they'll get it done. Timely is a different – I mean, they're going to get it done. If I give them a deadline, it gets done. Does it take them longer than it took Lori or Verna? Sure. I think part of that is, I mean, I think, you know, too, I mean, then with that, you know, I mean, they're both in tune to what we're trying to do, and they're both in tune to, you know, that to Bart's point, we just do a lot. She didn't do this much at her old job. And so I think stress comes alongside that, too, especially for Barb. You know, I think she's dealing with, I used to be really great at my job, and now I'm, in her mind, you know, average. If you want to, we don't think that, but I think she's feeling that. So I think she has that internal conflict going on right now, too, and so we're trying to be aware of that.
You know, sometimes people say that something like that, Matt, just to hear you say, no, you're doing a great job.
We've tried real hard to do that. And to communicate to that along the way, and, you know, and to bring a cup of coffee in or something, trying to be aware of it, I guess.
Yeah. I know I've said this to you before, but one of the finest mentors I had in my career said to me, you can never say the right thing. You can never say too many good things about somebody. Nobody's ever going to say, hey, Matt, stop saying those nice things.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you don't want to, you know, if you do it too often, it's insincere and manipulative. But it's important that they get reinforcement. I mean, what you just said a second ago about she thought she was, like, on top of her game and now she's a scrubbini, that to me is somebody saying, tell me I'm doing okay. So as I think through this, I'd paint that picture of the two circles. I would tell them that you work more. Talk about yourself, Mike. You could say I work more efficiently when I'm not interrupted. I know there are times I have to be, but I work really efficiently. And anything that you can hold to the end of the day or for our morning huddle, that helps me if you can do it. And then what we want to do is to sit down at the end of every week on an informal basis for 5 or 10 minutes and just get a sense for how the week has gone, what you think's gone well, what you think what hasn't gone well, what you need from me. You know, I tell people all the time, if you get in the ditch with Supernova and Supernova Ditch, pick up the phone and call me. I can get you out of the ditch a lot quicker than you can get yourself out. I mean, just a conversation like that. If you can hold it till the end of our morning huddle, that is the best for me. Having said that, if there's an emergency, then don't hesitate to talk to me. I mean, there are things, Mike, I know they brought to you that they could have held to the next morning.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
I mean, I don't have any other solution. What you said to me a minute ago is we've got the right people. You trust them. They get things done. They'll get them done more quickly when they get in the groove. You got the right people. You got to give them a chance to to get better on the one-off things. Would it help for Carol Henry to come and spend a day with them?
She is next week.
She is this week. Friday.
Oh, this Friday. Yeah, this Friday.
Terrific. Yep. So, and then I'd ask your manager to get the team training people out to your office.
I'll bring that up. Good idea.
Yeah, a whole day. I mean, they come in the night before, and then leave at the end of the next day. If they fly in and fly out, by the time they say, "Hey, how are you? How many kids you got? Where'd you go to college?" It's time to go to lunch, and then the day's over. So,
yeah.
you need them for at least a full day, maybe two.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm encouraged.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about, we were in that black place with all the ugliness with Lori and the other, Verna retiring, and this is, go back to what Matt said. We have a great moment to analyze our team and build from the ground up. That's what you're doing.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's a good way to look at it. We probably just need to get them all together on a kind of a planning basis, team planning. Here's what Verna was doing. Maybe Mary, Barbara can do it. Maybe she didn't want to do it, or Tracy maybe can do it. Maybe doesn't want to do it. We can kind of retool based on what everybody can and can't do, rather than doing it the same way we were doing it.
That's kind of what I keep going back to, and that's a little bit what I alluded to, Rob, in my email is, we've got three personalities and three different skill sets, and I'd rather just sit down and say, okay, here's the laundry list of stuff that has to happen on a daily basis, and who wants to do what, and who's good at it, and do we just kind of rejigger the whole thing to get the right, to get the right people in the right seat.
Yeah. Ultimately, you're going to do just what you said, Matt. You're going to hit the right people in the right seat. But one way to start it, just to make sure everything gets covered, is this is what Verna was doing, this is what Lori doing, and, they each of them become Lori or Verna, and then you start seeing who performs the jobs better. Wasn't Verna entering the information for planning, doing financial planning?
Yeah,
but maybe that isn't, they might want to start with the same jobs those two ladies were doing, but 6 months from now, it's not going to look quite like that.
Well, that's kind of what we're doing now, right? I mean, really, Tracy has stepped into Lori's role, Barb has stepped into Verna's role, and you're right, I think that's what we kind of decided is we'd let some time go so they could kind of learn it and then go back and reevaluate. Yeah. So,
well, and Barbara's very open to, okay, this is why we were doing it this way, but why were we doing it this way? She's more open to, Verna was very old school, manual, men do everything manually, and Barbara is much more, so we automate this.
Yeah.
And to simplify and streamline things. So I think there'll be some upticks in the process once everybody gets more up to speed.
Communication is the lubrication of any relationship. Make sure you're communicating with them. That meeting at the end of the week, what's worked, what hasn't, what do you need from me, so on and so forth. That's communication, and you're showing that you want to help them get better. I don't think this is complicated. I just think it's going to take a little time. If you were just bringing somebody in to push the pile who did it the same way they've done it for the last 30 years, this wouldn't take so long. You're making a change here. You're making a really important change, and that takes time. I suggest lots of patience and lots of communication.
Patience.
Something we're both really good at.
Well, you know better than I. But it patience is, they want to do a good job. These people, I mean, everything, the little comments you make about them are all positive. They want to do a good job. Yeah. Be patient with them. They want to please you.
We're trying to be patient. Take our patience pills.
We're trying.
All right, and if you feel impatient, you feel angry, go down and get a cup of coffee and come back.
Yeah, non-caffeine, though.
Non-caffeine.
As it said on the Baptist church in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, I was driving over there one day. You know, the Baptist church always has a little saying up on the marquee, and it said a pound. How was it? A pound. Let's see. It was. Let me think. It's important. Bear with me. An ounce of never said is worth more than a pound of I'm sorry. An ounce of never said is worth more than a pound of I'm sorry.
Yeah, the sermon in the church I went to this weekend up at the cabin, the minister was, the whole sermon was about the power of words.
Yeah.
We're building up or tearing down.
Yeah.
Oh, we got to do more building up.
Just got to be patient. Got to communicate. It will work if you both communicate with each other and with them and show patience for these two ladies.
But you said that's a lot of communicating.
Oh, man. Okay. All right. Good
okay.
Night. Good advice.
We'll talk next month. Call me if I can help you.
All righty.
Will do.
Hey, thanks, Rob.
If you get in the ditch, call me.
If we get in the ditch, we'll call you.
Bye.
You're in. We're digging out now.
Thanks.
No, you're not. Wells Fargo's in a ditch. All right.
Finally, somebody besides us.
See you later.